From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Wakanda Matusu, I am Paul.
I'm Storm.
And we are going to talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average, it's Thursday, March 28th, 2013. We've warped ahead in time.
We did. This is show 132. We hopped into a TARDIS that takes us forward 1 second in time every 1 second that goes by.
For us, it's actually like the last podcast was just a second ago. I know.
That's right.
That may seem to contradict what Paul just said, but it's not the case, because it's a TARDIS.
And it is bigger on the inside.
Yes.
Just like...
Like our skulls. We have...
Like our skulls, yes.
Infinite worlds in that sucker. Aren't we all just walking TARDISes?
You're gunning hard for a title for this episode.
No,
early on in the day, in the game.
No, I was just being big. That's all.
Okay.
Well, we're doing it.
So,
old school. Yeah.
What's new, Storm? What's happened lately?
Gosh, we were busy boys.
We were kind of ridiculously busy boys. We made a show.
Yeah, and it aired in its entirety. And
yes, since we've done our last podcast, we have filmed and aired a web series.
We've organized and executed and recovered from a cruise.
Yes.
We've been.
And we just last night put the finishing touches on a secret project.
Yeah, secret, which we can't announce because it's still going to be a while until... It gestates to its full.
Yes, let's
term.
Use the let's use the old standby, the old that old saw soon.
But we swear this one is not vaporware. Not that any of the ones we've ever been very secretive about have been. But
no, this is true. Every secret project we've ever talked about actually has been an actual thing, as opposed to just sort of trying to build buzz by saying we're working on a bunch of secret things. But.
That's
yeah,
funny.
This I'm looking forward to this particular secret thing, which we'll find out about soon. When I say soon, it's not the Pauly soon, a matter of months and months soon. But
less than a month.
Kind of a soon.
Yeah, not months. Maybe weeks.
But yeah, so we were very, very busy. And then, in there also were like the holidays and... stuff.
You know what really sort of motivated me to, and we're gonna try to be more regular with the podcast. Like we kind of realize
we're taking our podcast ex-lax.
Yeah, we are loose. We are loose on the pod.
That's right.
Hopping on the pod and waiting to see what happens.
Yeah.
The final thing was when we go to conventions. I'm always surprised at how many people introduce themselves as podcast fans.
Yeah.
Fans of ours in general, to be sure, but that specifically mention it. So PAX East, quite a number of people that we talked to up in Boston mentioned it. And so let's start there. I have a few notes. Let's do it old school style and sort of rip it along. The subject here is late to the game. In this case, it's
okay.
Literal. You and I both had a great experience. I love that we're talking about it with Magic the Gathering. Which is something that I'd been aware of since its creation, new people that played, et cetera. But it wasn't until we were on a cruise with Jonathan Colton in December that we actually learned to play. He and Drew Scarface, his business manager, taught us the game. But I feel like we've been thrust into this world wholehearted, and it's wonderful.
It's pretty damn neat. I heard Jonathan describe it really beautifully. The game is perfectly tuned to the nerd mind. Even if you don't know how to play, this description I think is apt. Basically, it's all about rules and then the breaking of those rules and then trying to come up with some sort of order when those rules are broken and reestablish new rules.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And as such, we both took a shine to it.
Yeah, I've taken to thinking of it as sort of a complex form of bridge for nerds.
Yeah, kind of. And it's actually, and it also bears a lot of similarities to sort of fantasy sports.
Yeah.
Where you sort of, you have the equivalent of your team in your deck that you have chosen either by draft or by however, and then you sort of pit your teams against each other, and statistics and the order of play determine a lot. And I am, my understanding, I have no idea if this, what is the word I'm looking for, if this statistic is true, but I heard someone say that even like the best of the full-time professional players only win about 60% of the time.
Yeah, well, there is a lot of random chance built into the format, and the idea that it's always changing, and it's unlike bridge or chess, the game keeps changing and evolving. And I'm sure a lot of folks and you listening right now might be saying, "Oh yeah, you know, I used to play back in high school," and it seems like, or in college, or that there are waves, and the people sort of come back to the game, leave the game, just sort of as time and income allow. Mm-hmm. But generally, that's sort of a topic. It's kind of neat that there are these generations of people who have played this game and are familiar with it, at least in some guise, and to suddenly discover this whole big world, and as much time as you would want to devote to it, you can explore it. And another thing like that for me right now is Minecraft, which hasn't been around for that long, but long enough that there's a developed wiki for it. And like, wow, here's this great new big universe that I can explore in the case of Minecraft, literally.
Yep.
So there's a question for you, Paul. Are there, obviously Magic the Gathering is one that we both share, but
there haven't been, not so much in sort of wider universes, unless you count something like Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm.
We've had that. This discussion before. I never really read much of anything in the way of sci-fi or fantasy growing up. I wasn't that particular breed of nerd. I had nothing against it. I just sort of never really went in that direction. And it took until, what, 3-4 years ago, when yet another thing that Jonathan Colton introduced us to, the Game of Thrones books, and you and I both dove in pretty hard and pretty deeply.
Yeah, and we're not just saying this because we're gunning for the Game of Thrones HBO box of goodies. We already know.
Yeah, we would not object to getting such box of goodies, but at this point, I think it's pretty obvious we're not going to get one.
I think writing a song exhorting George R. R. Martin to write faster is not something that would endear one. Well, I don't know. It's awareness.
HBO is in the please write faster George R. R. Martin business as well, I would think.
Well, heck, then come on, HBO. If you're listening, make with the boxes. We'll talk it up.
600,000 views on our song. You know, not to toot our own horn, but that's not insignificant. Push in your business interests direction. That's all we're saying.
We're not saying we would write another song, but you know, it's a possibility. Let's move on. Let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's keep things brisk. Sure. Brisk and crisp and smelling good.
Well, speak for yourself.
Yeah, I don't smell too good right now myself.
My studio smells like men. My wife always tells me when this bedroom, which functions as my office, which actually functions as my studio, whenever she comes in, she sort of turns up her nose. Ugh, smells like men in here.
You should make an air freshener in roughly the shape of a man. And like hang them up throughout the house just to see what she would do. Man fresh.
Man stank.
Man stank.
Musk is what we would call it. We would just call it musk.
Musk. But you have to spell it with like a backwards K or something so that you can copyright it.
And like six S's.
Or M-U-S-Q-U-E.
Yes, or M-U dollar sign Q-U-E.
Yeah, because man is money. Here's a subject which I call treat yourself. Treat yourself. It's probably something we've discussed just sort of casually over the years, but sort of after accomplishing a thing, it's good to treat yourself. And
this is true.
And the treat scaled with the accomplishment, you know,
mm-hmm.
win a gold medal at the Olympics, buy a planet. Go ahead and buy a planet. Or go to Disney
World
if you like that.
Yeah.
For sort of daily things, like little accomplishments, like say we've often talked about doing the household chores, like in installing a new part of, you know, the part of the toilet that makes the toilet not leak anymore, because that can be any number of things.
The unleaker.
My sort of standard for that is like a root beer. That's sort of.
Well, no, my answer is very simple, because my answer to everything is a Chipotle burrito.
Ooh, even
it is my treat for accomplishing a thing. The beauty of it, though, is that it is also my my thing to get myself going in order to start a thing, and it is also the thing that I get when I need a break from something.
So you basically bookend yourself with burritos at all times.
Basically, it's burritos all the way down.
Wow. I'm picturing your house with like a conveyor belt that just runs in and out, like those sushi restaurants that have the conveyors.
Yeah, it's got a little tiny river with boats floating in it, except the boats don't hold sushi, the boats hold burritos.
The little man
in foil.
The little man in the boat is a burrito.
Yeah, you know, if I could install a Chipotle as an addition to my house.
Yep.
That might be the true measure of complete success for me. Like, you know, some people would measure it by, you know, paying off my mortgage or having a second house or never mm-hmm. having to work again. My true measure of success is the day that I open my own personal Chipotle franchise. And I don't mean one that I own. I mean one that is solely for me.
Huh. I think that would be, in a way, that's a measure of income. Like, you can quantify What would
I
it cost?
That's true.
Because it wouldn't be a profit center, no matter how many burritos you ate.
No, that's true. Oh, you know what? I'm not going to be so selfish, actually. Now that I say that, I would not make it solely for my own benefit, but I would establish the rule that anytime I go in, I get to go straight to the front of the line.
That's fair, and you do mean it.
I think that's eminently fair.
Attached to your house.
Yeah, I mean, it's attached to my house. I built the damn thing.
Yeah.
I believe there are some privileges that go with ownership. And first and foremost among those privileges is cutsies.
Now, you could simply move to some swanky, more urban area where you would basically have, you could live on top of a Chipotle and maybe
that's
have a dumbwaiter.
That's true. That could be like my, you know, do they have that checkbox in the real estate websites, like when you're searching for a property?
Chipotle adjacent?
You know, something near, you know, near a particular schools or... or within X miles of the highway, or within X hundred feet of a Chipotle franchise.
Right. Well, I'm looking at the comps, and you'll see that five of them are Chipotle adjacent, and another four are within a half block.
Yeah. Well, let's start with the adjacents and work our way out for it, I think. This is, again, not to say we are seeking any endorsements or freebies from Chipotle, but please send me some free shit, Chipotle.
Yes, this podcast seems to be about the swank.
It does. The swank or the swag? The swanky swag.
I'm using swank. I'm tired of swag and swag. No matter how
swag is bullshit. Swag I'm okay with, but swag is some bullcrap.
No, I agree. Anytime you have to schwa something, you're just working too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless it's your last name.
Yeah, that's true. Even then.
Yeah, David Schwimmer.
You should think about changing it.
Yeah.
David Schwimmer, ugh.
But I treated myself recently, just sort of, we had a good run, in the past few months.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm not a material girl, so.
No, you are not. You live a very Spartan existence.
Yeah. If you, ever visit, it is a hillside dugout.
Yes.
And our furniture is whatever we pick off the forest floor.
Yeah.
Fortunately, we live in a very nice forest.
It's in the real nice forest. It's like an IKEA forest.
Yep, with candy and IKEA furniture. But so in some senses, this isn't really a treat. But I bought myself a whetstone.
Uh huh.
As in,
you mean a whetstone?
A whetstone. That's correct, Stewie. Yes, a stone which you use to sharpen blades. And I haven't used it yet,
mm-hmm.
But I'm kind of excited. Just the idea that you can take the old thing and voila, it is new again. That's magic.
Mm-hmm.
That's a kind of magic. And I probably wouldn't have done it if it were not the age of the internet and the YouTubes. Just right. That, you know.
So you could research exactly the awesomest whetstone.
That and the technique, because I have a bad history with knives. I have stabbed myself or been stabbed for stitches twice.
Yee, that's two more than you really want.
Yeah, and this isn't like, you know, I was at a Chipotle and, you know, someone came in to rob it and I got stabbed in the guts. It wasn't like that.
That's a good thing, because that would have been even sadder about you being stabbed in the guts as if somebody had robbed a Chipotle.
Although it would be kind of, I know, amusing in a grisly way if you did get stabbed in the guts after being served your Chipotle. I'd be curious, like, if you started eating the burrito, would it just come right out, you know?
I guess it would depend on particularly where in the guts you were stabbed.
That's true. In the burrito exit hole. That would be
a very interesting weight loss method, though.
But I digress.
So not a good history with knives for you,
right? So it's really, this purchase was enabled by the internet all around. It's got Japanese writing on it, which is also very exciting.
Yeah,
though I understand it could be used for knives of Japanese extraction and not.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not stropping. I learned the distinction between sharpening and stropping.
Okay, and that would be?
Sharpening is where you're actually shaving down the blade. You are
right.
Taking off the ragged edges at a 22.5 degree angle.
Okay.
On either side of the blade to create this pinnacle, this edge.
Mm-hmm.
And you can work at different grits, at different strengths of stone to go from coarse to fine, just like you would when you're making furniture after you've picked up twigs off the forest floor for your dugout home.
Right, right, right.
Stropping is simply basically realigning the blade that is there so it's straight. I guess that's the best way. So
it's just sort of rebending it so that it's all in one big straight line, as opposed to a sort of wavy, jagged line?
Exactly. So it's sort of, you can strop in between sharpenings, like you've seen, like Bugs Bunny cartoons or wherever.
Right, right.
There's the old straight razor.
The big leather strop.
Exactly.
Or strap on which you strop.
Yeah, you strap your strop. You don't strap your strop.
I gotta look that up. Is that a verb and a... Okay, it is a noun.
To strop, or is both a verb and a noun?
A razor strop is a flexible strip of leather or canvas, so it is a noun as well as a verb, I guess.
So, you know, I can report on how that goes later, but that's that was the extent of the treating. Is I don't count things like replacing microphones and audio right. gear as, you know.
Right, right.
It's not a treat. It's fun, but it's not a treat.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to go in detail about your whetstone?
Well, that's as much detail as I know. I can report back if I still have all of my digits after I have honed or sharpened. I guess it's actually sharpening. Yeah, one knife in particular that's the sad knife that sits at the bottom of the drawer because it's a wonderful implement but dull. So we'll see what happens.
I have a knife. It was one of those cheap, eternally sharp knives, quote unquote,
mm-hmm.
that you buy at, you know, Target or Walmart or wherever. That I got. My mom bought it for me when I went off to college. In my junior year when I was in an apartment. You know, I didn't just keep a knife sitting around my dorm room or anything.
You weren't that
guy. That would be a little weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, they got me this knife. You know, just sort of a general cutting utility knife. And it is, to this day, pretty much the most useful knife that we own.
Wow.
Having purchased a full knife set between now and then, it's still the knife I use most often.
Huh. Although,
I have never, ever sharpened it.
Well, that's the thing about the, at least when they're manufactured properly, the stay sharp forever, is it... Is it serrated? Not in the sense of a bread
yes,
knife.
Yes, it is. Yeah. It is serrated. It is also, I mean, it's not an expensive knife. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like they went out and bought some fancy $200 German
right.
or Swiss or Japanese piece of, you know, made by some artisan, you know, some 90-year-old artisan hunched over a forge.
Right, a 90-year-old Swiss Japanese albino.
Yes. Yeah, they do make the best knives.
Absolutely.
But, you know, I mean, it's just this cheap-ass knife, but for some reason it has maintained its edge and is just awesome. And those kinds of things always sort of fascinate me. Like, the thing that actually works as advertised.
Yeah, I only imagine that it can stay sharp because basically any knife, as you use it, it wears, and it's at a very yep. fine level. But if you have a deep serration, even if mm-hmm. it were only a quarter inch or even that, less, maybe an eighth of an inch, I mean, it's metal, for gosh sakes, that it's basically, as it wears away, it just wears to a new layer of serration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a self sharpening in a way, that's pretty clever, I got to say.
Yeah.
Pretty clever.
That's pretty smart. Must have been thought of by a smart person. Okay, what else we got? It's let's see, we're about 21 minutes into this thing or so.
We can call it there. The last thing I have listed, because we don't have a ton of time, keeping things brisk.
That's right.
Is just about Thanksgiving traditions. You mentioned that you're going to have a whole host of people at your home.
Yeah, I'm going to have a house full of people for Easter.
Oh, Easter.
Which is like Thanksgiving in many respects.
Isn't that funny? I conflate all of these holidays, the ones where you have family together.
Yes.
By the way, I completely forgot it's Passover, and I only learned from my wife, who asked if I knew when Passover was, and I'm a bad Jew.
Bad Jew. Bad juju from the bad Jew.
But yeah, I guess I think of them together because we always got together with the same people. They were sort of interchangeable holidays.
Yeah, totally.
Because the food was slightly different.
Yep, and it's either a little colder or a little warmer outside.
Yeah, yeah. But that was the topic. But in terms of specifics, not a lot there.
No, I don't think I have much interesting to talk about in that regard, other than I get to eat my chili horseradish dip.
Oh, right, which we actually contributed that. You contributed that, and I contributed a guacamole recipe. Recipe.
Yes. Recipe.
Guacamole.
That's how the
fancy
people refer to them.
It's a southern recipe for guacamole.
With the accent egg U over the E.
It's a very fancy guacamole.
Mm-hmm.
Which we will we'll tell you about that when it comes out.
Yeah, there's a recipe book coming out that we got to be in, I guess. First recipe book I was ever asked to take part in since, I believe, in third grade we made a recipe book in the class.
Like, hey, I'm not making mud pie. I'm making peanut butter and jelly.
I made, it was cookies, my mom's cookie recipe, which is my go-to cookie recipe until this day.
Well, you're full of your mom's recipes.
I am full of my mom's recipes, it's true.
Your mom,
as we all are, I think.
Your mom's got recipes.
Your mom's full of recipes. Let's go over quickly the Paul and Storm schedule.
Yeah.
Next week. April 3rd, we're at the Ram's Head Tavern in Annapolis. Been a while since we've been there,
mm-hmm.
but we will be back. That's April 3rd. And then May 3rd, exactly 1 month later, we are opening up for John Hodgman at the Birchmere,
uh-huh.
our old stomping grounds. Let's see. May 11th, we're taking part in the Thrilling Adventure Hour in Brooklyn, New York, when it comes to visit our coast.
Yeah.
Up at the Bell House. There's two shows. They're both sold out already, but if you have tickets, you'll see us there, among others. And that is always super fun to take part in. And then June 1st, speaking of old stomping grounds, we're doing a show at our yearly show, it seems to be, our yearly summer show at Jam and Java in Vienna, Virginia.
Because it's a great summer treat. That's why.
It is a great summer treat. It's a friendly, happy, good space. And oddly enough, located right next to a Chipotle restaurant.
And a Cold Stone.
And a Cold Stone. You know what? When we open the Paul and Storm compound.
Yes.
That's pretty much what it's going to be. It's going to be a house for you, a house for me, a Cold Stone, and a Chipotle.
You know what? I would be happy with that. You know,
mm-hmm. and a Dunkin' Donuts.
Just Sure.
Just to have it there.
It would have
coffee
to be
and the occasional donut.
It would have to be a Boston Dunkin' Donuts.
Yes. No. Of course. Absolutely.
Like,
and maybe a. Well, we've got the Cold Stone, but occasionally I like a good Friendly's ice cream.
Sure. I mean, while we're adding things on, I say, mm-hmm. why not? And I want to have my own pizza oven. I will make pizza.
Sure. Sure. It'll be Deco's pizza.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Deco's.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. I can see that. Would it be like a wood burning thing, or just as an old school, just a pizza place kind of pizza oven?
Since we're talking Fantasyland, it's going to be a coal.
Ooh, right. Pizza oven. Yeah, one you'd have to inherit from some old Italian third generation pizza maker.
That's right, because I remember as a kid visiting grandparents in Queens. It was a great treat to march down to the old pizza parlor that still had the coal-burning oven. And I know, carbon, all that. But
yep.
I'm not going to make a lot of pizza. Just for right. you. Just for yep. you, dear listener.
Just for our good friends and listeners.
Yeah.
We'll have a pizza party every year, and then we'll shoot on over to the Cold Stone and to the Friendlies for either type of ice cream you want.
And we'll sell carbon offsets. How about that?
Yeah, there we go. That's the solution.
Yeah. Thank you, carbon offsets.
Paul and Storm's carbon offset and tasty food treat compound.
Yeah. Now who's gunning for the title of the podcast?
That's right. It's a plan. I want somebody to draw up the blueprints, or like, not the blueprints. What's the word I'm looking for? Like one of those... Just the overhead three-quarter angle drawing of the neighborhood that is the Paul and Storm compound.
The exploded view?
Yeah, kind of.
Cross-section.
I want to see the insides. Now we're back on guts. Those are some of the shows coming up. We're working on doing more conventions this year. That's like one of our goals that we had set for 2013 was to attend more cons.
Yeah, and it's totally happening. And
we're totally trying to make that all work. We'll let you know as more of those get confirmed. Learning Town can be found at, learningtown.geekandsundry.com?
Or yeah, if you search Learning Town and Geek and Sundry, it'll pop up. It'll pop
yeah,
up.
Yeah, you'll find it.
And we're turning...
Secret Things coming.
Right. Turning our brains to more musics while we have the time, so
always.
And
well, not always, but I say that
right now we actually have time, so
that's right. Let's see, there's 437 people in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions.
Yeah, let's
you want to be a minion.
Yeah, let's crank that machine up.
Yeah,
crank it up.
Sure, that works. So all of that being said, I am still Paul.
I'm Storm, and we've been talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes
on average. Are you gonna spit on your whetstone?
Go do things.